Hey guys, welcome to Sunday Nights at Refuge, a community-focused Bible study that gathers weekly in our Common Ground Cafe. So grab a cup of coffee or tea and your Bible. By the way, you can connect with us on Instagram at Refuge Family. Now, our prayer is that Jesus would use this message to draw you closer to Him. So if you're ready, let's join tonight's study.
Lord, now we just turn your attention to Scripture. We believe that you want to speak to us. You want to direct us. You've got a purpose for every single soul that is in here tonight to be here. There was a reason why they came. And so now, Lord, by the power of your Spirit, less of me, more of you, Lord, that you would speak and direct our hearts. Amen. Amen. Here's what I got to ask you. This term, throwing shade, anybody know what that means? All right, Urban Dictionary says this. I'll tell you. To talk trash about a friend or an acquaintance. To publicly denounce or disrespect someone. That's called, now some of you know this. You're just not raising your hand. Throwing shade. You've heard it before. Raise your hand if you've heard it before. Just be honest. Throwing shade. Wow. Wow. Yes. Thank you. Raise your hand. People. You know, I know you've heard this before because Rick told me he used it in one of his messages. And half of you were like, I don't know what that means. And the other half were like, yeah, that's funny. But nobody laughed. So I'm not even going for a laugh. I'm just telling throwing shade. Now, somebody's done this to you before, right? It's what you hear that someone has said about you that is not true, right? You've heard this before, and you said, quit throwing shade on me. I know you said it, right? I remember one time I was a high school volunteer, and I remember there was this instance that happened, this situation where this person disagreed with the way that I handled it. This person then went to a lot of other leaders and parents, and they started throwing shade on Jeff. They started saying he doesn't care about the kids. He doesn't care about them. And she or he started to question my character and who I was. Now, it went on for a while, and I had no idea it was happening. Maybe you've had this happen to you before, until someone comes to you and says, hey, you know what she or he is saying about you. And then you're like, what? That is not true. I never said or did that. You've been there? Anybody been there before? Just four or five of you? Okay. Get ready. It's going to happen in your life sometime, right? And I started hearing all the stuff this person was saying about me. And at the moment, you just get in the flesh. You're like, I am going to go and I am going to tell him or her all about the business, right? There's no way you can say that because that never happened. What really happened was this person disagreed with the way I handled the situation, and they thought the way that I'll get back at them is I will throw shade on their name, right? And it just lit on fire, and you've had that, and it just kind of spreads around, and you really actually don't smell it until like you're burning. You're like, that smells like you're burning me, right? And finally, at one point, you get to the point where you're like, we got to have a sit down and we got to talk about this because I have to set the record straight. What has been wrong, I have to set right. I just feel it. Like you've had this because you have bad days, right? The days where you're just like, oh, it just hurts in my gut so much because this stuff is not true about me. And are these people believing it? And how is that affecting my relationship with the students based on the fact of what this person said that was not even true? I know you've been there before at work when somebody says something or at school. You didn't get through high school without somebody throwing shade on your name, right? I mean, somebody said something, you're just like, that is not true at all. We've all been in that. Ticks you off, makes you want to yell. Maybe you go home and yell in your pillow. I don't know. It really frustrates you. So here's the situation, and here's why I even bring that up. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, which is where we are at tonight. So let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And actually, for the rest of 2 Corinthians, as you guys are going to study through it, people have been throwing shade on Paul's name to the point where it affected his ministry. You remember this, right? We got into chapters 8 and 9 where he talked about giving, and some of you missed that, but that's okay, right? 8 and 9, we talked about giving, but before that, he was actually talking about these people who had been talking poorly about him. And we know this, that some of those Corinthians had kind of walked away from the Lord, And they had kind of gotten outside of Paul's authority. They're like, we're not going to follow Paul anymore either. What we also know to be true in 2 Corinthians is that they actually came back. There was a repentance that went on. But what we know to be, now we're going to see this, and you're going to see it in 10, 11, 12, and 13, that Paul is now all about defending his name. And he's coming after those people, which is going to get exciting. He's coming after those people who are throwing shade on his name, who are saying, listen, you can't trust Paul. Don't trust him. He's not worth it. Get away from him. Stay away. And they're actually people who are in the church then. Paul's not with them. So can you imagine that tension? Like, this is my baby. This is the church that God used me to start. And now I'm away from them. And I'm starting to hear that they're making fun of me, or they're saying improper things about me. They're saying things that I didn't do or I didn't say. And I can't be with them. So that's the context of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. So take a look at this. We'll call it the conflict. The conflict. And in fact, just so you know this too, these men, and you'll find out later on as you go on, but I think it's important that we point this out, they're false prophets. Some people call them the super apostles. At one point, Paul says they're messengers of Satan dressed as angels of light. So he doesn't really mix words with them, right? It's going to be exciting as you walk through 2 Corinthians. You're going to see all these things that he hammers them on. But look at verse 10, chapter 10, verse 1. And Paul writing to the church in Corinth, he says this, "Now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ." Now, here's what other people have said about him. Now, catch this. Here's what other people have said about them. He says, you know, this is the one who, in the presence, I am lowly among you, but being absent, I am bold toward you. That was a remark that these people used to get at Paul. Let me catch that again. This is a remark that people used to throw shade on Paul's name. They said, listen, this guy Paul, he writes with such boldness and confidence, like he cares about you, or that he's going to discipline you, or that he's going to... But listen, in person, he's weak. Paul is weak. Wait till you see him. If you haven't already seen him, wait till you see him. If you've already seen him, you know what I'm talking about. The guy, he's weak. And he's saying, listen, this is what they say about me, that who in your presence I am lowly among you, but being absent, I'm bold towards you. You know what it's like? It's like the little dog, right? This is the accusation. Paul, you're like that little dog that when from a distance, yaps, 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 bark, 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 bark. But as soon as I get near you, oh, I'm sorry, right? That's what they're saying. They're saying, like, Paul, you're so bold from a distance. You think you're all that. But when I get near you, or when you come near here, psst, you're just scared and afraid. So Paul is addressing this problem in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. It's like you're this tough dog, but you're really not, because in our presence, you're meek and mild. Look at verse 2. "But I beg you that when I am present," this is him writing to those Corinthians, "but I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold that with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some." Everybody go, ooh. Watch out. "Who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh." Now, what he's saying there is, look, the reason I'm writing this letter, the purpose of sending this letter is that some of you who have fallen prey to these people who are false apostles and who slander my name, I'm praying that some of you would section yourself away from them. Get away from them. Because I'm coming, and when I come, I don't want to have to be bold with you. I don't want to have to lay down the law with you. I would just assume you read this letter that I'm writing, identify the problem, and repent and turn away from those people. I don't want to have to show up and be bold with you. However, I know there's some that I'm going to have to be bold with. Even though I've tried, they keep slandering my name. And at some point, we're going to have a sit down, and I will be bold with them. And you're going to see this in 11 and 12. He says, listen, I got to tell you who I really am. In chapters 11 and chapters 12, he's like, I'm gonna lay it out in the line who I truly am. Now, listen, there's a conflict that's shade being thrown at Paul. I want you to hear how he responds to the conflict. Check this out in verse 3. And I think it's powerful for us because, again, I know that only like 10 people raised their hand that said people ever slandered them. But I know all of us have been in that spot. And maybe some of you are sitting in that spot right now where somebody, you're like, I know what that feels like, Paul. Like, I wish I could do something about it. I wish I could change their heart, the way they view me, right? The things that they said about me were hurtful and maybe even came from family members. Like, I feel like, man, it just the oppression. Like, I feel like they pushed me down, right? So Paul is feeling that same way. Catch that. Paul is feeling like, I love these people with all my heart. And to hear that some have turned their backs on me and the gospel, and to hear this, what some of the people have said about me, I was with them. I mean, I know them. I know their kids, right? And the things that they have said about me really hurt me. And there's conflict. But I want you to see how Paul handles that conflict. First of all, what he doesn't do, verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. In other words, my battle with them is not going to be filled with, Paul would say, slander, gossip, lies, not telling the whole truth, things that we're going to ignore or discredit someone, negativity towards those people, politics. He's like, those are all worldly weapons that have been used against me. I'm not going to use those weapons. Catch it, because it's very important. When someone says something bad about us, what's our knee-jerk reaction? Oh, I know some stuff about you, right? I know how to get to you. And he's saying, listen, that's a worldly weapon, and I'm not going to use that against these people. Instead, listen to what he does instead. Listen to Paul's weapons. And I want to tell you, you and I have these same weapons. And when we get into conflict, maybe you're in one right now, I would encourage you to use these weapons. Look at verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or worldly, but mighty in God. For, now listen, pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And listen, being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. When he's saying, listen, what he's saying there is, I want some of you, like what I just said, I want some of you to come back to truth, come back to the gospel, recognize who I am in the Lord. I want you to come back on Team Paul, in a sense, Team Jesus. And I'm patient. I'm waiting to come to you until more of that happens. You know, God says he's long-suffering with us. Paul's being long-suffering with them. He's like, I'm writing this letter to give you a chance to repent, because when I come, I'm going to come in boldness and authority under God. So what he says there, listen, he says, I don't use these worldly weapons because they lead to nowhere. They lead to conflict, even more conflict. But what I do use are the weapons of warfare that are of God. What are those weapons of warfare? What's some of them that you might think of? Prayer, for sure. Love, for sure. How about Ephesians chapter 6, right? The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the gospel of peace, the gospel of peace. Like, when I came to you, right? He said this to the Corinthians. When I came to you, I didn't come with eloquent words. I just came with the gospel. I kept it simple. The shield of faith, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation. I think, man, Paul, the word of God. Like, all these things are the weapons of the Christian. But I think some of us, including myself, need to dust it off the shelf, right? We got to pull these things off the shelf and start using them in our lives when that conflict comes. Because I think too often, and I was part of a high school ministry for a long time, high school youth pastor, too often we use the weapons of man, right? And it's all about knowing what weapon to bring to the war. And sometimes I think we bring human weapons to a spiritual war. And that always gets ugly. Can I get an amen? When we start throwing words back at people or slandering people back, when we start going behind people's backs, it just gets ugly. Instead, Paul says, listen, I'm not coming with that weapons of warfare of man. I'm coming with spiritual weapons. Now, here's why he's doing it. He says, because there's been a stronghold that's been set up. What's a stronghold? A fortress. Excellent. It's a fortress. Oftentimes what happens is a people is being are under siege, and they build a stronghold so they can hide behind the stronghold as the enemy is coming in to attack. Okay? What he's saying here is that the people who have been led astray by these false apostles, some called them super apostles, are actually, they've had a stronghold set up around their mind, right? They've been a stronghold set up around their mind, because look what he says here in the verse I just read. Check it out. He says that these pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, right, or logical reasoning of every high thing that exalts itself up against the what? Knowledge of God. The stronghold has been set up in their mind, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. The stronghold has been of the mind. Now, I'm not even a Lord of the Rings fan, but for whatever reason, when I was reading this passage, the image I got is of, now, I had to look this up. I don't just know it off the top of my head. Theoden, am I doing right so far? Lord of the Rings fans? Okay. Theoden is stuck, right? And he's being influenced by this evil enemy who is Saruman. Yeah. But who is the other guy? Who is it? Wormtongue. There you go. Thank you. So Theoden, and maybe you remember this. Everybody see this? And you can kind of see he looks super old and sick, and his eyes are all like kind of glossed over with white. And then his mind has been captured. I would say his mind has had a stronghold set up against it. And that happened over time, right? And this evil, some of you are like, what are you talking about? This evil wizard guy, Saruman, has gotten into his mind. And then Gandalf the Grey comes in, right? Gandalf the Grey comes in, and he tries to set him free, but he can't do it. So then Gandalf the Grey becomes Gandalf the White, and he sets him free, right? He breaks down the stronghold. There you go. You just acted that out. That was brilliant. Yeah. He sets the mind free, and now you can see why I thought of this. What's happening is these people, they're under the influence of these false apostles, And their minds are stuck. They've heard a false gospel. They've begun to believe a lie. And Paul's like, there are strongholds set up in their minds. And I can't break it down by using my words. And I can't just bring by, like, wishing upon a star. That just doesn't work. So what I need is the power of God. And how do I get to the power of God? I pray. I pray. I read my scriptures. I gird myself with the belt of truth. I was actually looking for armor, the armor of God, right? I'm not going to fall for the tricks. And I can't do it by myself. And I feel like I'm under this huge weight, Paul would have said. I feel sorrowful. I'm broken. And yet I know God's giving me this authority. So as I march into the battle against this stronghold on their minds, God, I need you to help me fight it. And amen to that. Don't we have that in our lives? That there are people that have strongholds set up against their minds, and some of them talk poorly about us, and we think, God, I don't know how to handle that situation. It's so far beyond me. I didn't do any of those things. I didn't say any of that stuff. And I'm scared to go talk to them, or I'm scared to talk to the people that it's affected. God, I'm just going to stop right now, and I don't need the weapons of man. I need you. I need you to enter into that before I even go. I'm going to pray. I'm going to be in your word. God, use the power of your spirit, which is going to come up here in a second. I would just say this too. As Paul, I want you to notice something. As we go through 10, 11, as you go through 12 and 13, the way that Paul does it with humility, he handles the situation with absolute humility. Now, he's going to have to be bold, but he's not weak, right? He's going to have to be bold, but he's not weak. But he comes to them, and the way he even started us off tonight was with meekness. I come to you, and he comes with humility. We can learn from that. Amen? When we try to approach fire with fire, oftentimes there's an explosion in that, right? And so Paul, he's going to come with boldness. He's not this little tiny soft puppy, right? Paul's never going to be called that, right? But he does come with humility. In humility, he comes to them, and he uses these weapons amongst them. This is what Alan Redpath says. When the thought comes and the person is reported to have said what he said or she said, and the unkindness has been passed over to us, we just heard about it, and the criticism has been made, whereas carnality would say, counterattacked, Spirituality recognizes that nothing that any person could ever say about any one of us is really 100th part as bad as the truth if they only knew us. Do you know what I'm saying? That, hey, you can come against me, and maybe that's not true, but I got 100 other things you could have really come against me with, and those things are all true. Listen to what he says. Therefore, we have no reason to counterattack, but one good reason to submit and forget in Jesus. Alan Redpath, I'll find out what book it came from, but Alan Redpath is the dude's name. The gentleman's name, excuse me. He's not a dude. So listen, hey, he's saying this. Listen, you're going to come under attack. I'm under attack. Let's approach that with godly weapons, not manly weapons. And in fact, Paul's going to imply those now. Look at verse 7. He says this to the people of Corinth. Do you look at things according to the outward appearance? If anyone is convinced in himself that he is Christ, let him again consider this in himself, that just as he is in Christ, even so we are Christ. He's going to bring this up in 13:5. He's going to say something similar. He's going to say, examine yourself in 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified, but I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. What he's saying here is, listen, look at yourselves. In fact, he would say this, many of you are my kids. My spiritual kids, I came to you, I preached the gospel, you believed, there's been fruit from that belief, and now you're calling me into question. I want to say, examine yourselves. If you're in Christ, am I not in Christ? If I planted the seed and God grew it and there was fruit, then why are you questioning me? Examine yourselves. You're the proof, right? That God used me, that God has given me authority. Look at verse 8. For even if I should boast somewhat more about our authority, which the Lord gave us for edification and not for your destruction, I shall not be ashamed. In other words, hey, guys, listen, here's something that's going to have to come up in my letter to you. I got to boast. And listen, I want you to know that it's not for pride purposes that I'm boasting. But you see, there's been these guys, and they've been throwing shade on us, right? They've been throwing shade on me. And I got to let you know that it's not true. And that, in fact, the authority that I originally came to you with and that I'm coming again is given to me by God. Now, that's come into question, because these guys that are living amongst you and speaking into your lives, they're questioning my authority, Paul's authority. And so I've got to spend the next couple chapters dealing with that. And I don't like to. I don't want to. I don't want to boast about Paul. And you know this about Paul, right? Paul says it's all about Christ. But for your, he says right here, for your edification, listen, that's why I've been given this authority to speak to you. Not because I want to talk about me, but because I want to talk about Jesus. And these guys have blocked that. They've set up a stronghold against you. So now, moving on, look at verse 9. He says, I shall not be ashamed, lest I seem to terrify you by my letters. For his letters, they say, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak, and his speech is contemptible. Huh, to say that about the Apostle Paul, oh, you're in trouble. You just got knocked down a couple rungs, right? 11, let such a person consider this, that what we are in word by letters, which is bold and courageous, when we are absent, such we will also be indeed when we are present. Basically, I'm going to lay the smack down when I come, is what he's saying. These people tell me and tell you that I'm not bold, right? That I'm weak. What does he say? But his body presence is weak and his speech is contemptible. In other words, don't worry about Paul. And what? And I would even, they would even say this. I question whether he's spirit-led at all. And so he's getting this. He's hearing this. And he's saying, listen, when we come, all the things that I've said, oh, it's going down. Like, it's going to happen. Listen to some of the things he said in 1 Corinthians. You don't have to turn there, but 1 Corinthians 3:16, he talked about the destruction of the destroyer of God's people. There's people who are mixing it up amongst God's people and causing them to fall away. He's like, they're in for destruction, right? Exclusion from the kingdom of God for those whose lives did not show evidence of God's grace. That was in 2 Corinthians 6, 9, and 11. So he's talking like there's going to be some destruction that happens. There's going to be some exclusion from the kingdom of God. You can see the boldness that he writes with. He used the word judgment within God's people. Like, there's going to be some judgment in the house of God. And they're saying, no, 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 no. That's just Paul being Paul. He's that barking dog from far away. None of that stuff's going to happen. He's like, when I come, it's going down. Look at 2 Corinthians 7 and 8. I'll read this to you. You don't have to turn there. For even if I made you sorry, this is him writing to the Corinthians, right, in chapter 7. For even if I made you sorry with my letter, I do not regret it, though I did regret it, for I perceive that the same letter or epistle made you sorry, though only for a while. Now I rejoice that not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. So he's written stuff that's had some teeth to it. That's actually hurt some people, but he's like, I didn't want to hurt you. I just was trying to get you to repent, and you did that, so praise God. But I'm coming with more to back up the words that I've written, and these people are telling you that I'm not, but I am. That's his point right there. Just to summarize it right there. He's going to lay the spiritual smackdown. At this point, Paul's replying in a letter to the 2 Corinthians as a warning. He's, listen, I want you to come to this side. I want you to see the truth. I want you to get away, distance yourself from these men because they're speaking a false gospel and they're speaking against God's anointed apostle, i.e. Paul. I'm giving you a chance. And the way that I'm going to come in is not with words and words and words. I'm going to come in with God's tools. Right, I'm going to come with the Spirit and with truth and with prayer and with love, and I'm going to win people over to Christ again. And I want you to be a part of that. I want you to walk with me again. Recognize the authority that you've been given, or that I've been given. Verse 12. For we dare not, listen, we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves. This is Paul writing against the other people. For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. Yeah, woo. Yeah, I mean, man, he says, listen, I'm not gonna put myself on their level, right? Because what they've come up with is a false system, a false measuring stick of what successful ministry looks like. And these guys think they're all that. Right? Great speakers, because they've questioned Paul's speaking ability. Oh, you don't, he's weak in the speaking, right? We're good speakers, right? They've elevated themselves up. He can't debate, we debate. Look the way he looks, meek and mild. Look at our looks, right? IQ levels, well-crafted speeches, achievements. He's like, they've measured themselves with all these things. Now, we as the church have to be very careful with this, right? Because that's appealing. That's appealing. Oh, good looks. Oh, could teach. Oh, can, you know, just the way they word things or the speeches they make. And some people have said, that's the place I want to be. I want to listen to that person. That's my pastor, right? I want that. And he's saying, listen, you all fall full into that, right? You've fallen into it. And they've said things that aren't even true, and you've stayed. And they measure themselves by themselves. And he says, that's not wise. Instead, look at what Paul says here. They've gained sway amongst the church. Now, here's what Paul says. Listen, if you compare me to them, I might not have the it, right? He said, I might not have what they have. But listen, I'm measured on a different standard. Listen to some of the things that Paul would have said. I have God's authority. And he could have dropped the mic there, right? Because God has appointed me. I've been in the presence of Jesus on the right road to Damascus, right? On the road to Damascus. I was in the presence of Jesus. None of these guys had that, right? I have the heart and the mind of Christ. It's proven in the churches that I've planted. I have the Spirit of God living and working in me. It's proven by the fruit. I have personally walked through pain and suffering on behalf of the gospel. Huge, right? Huge. I came simply and yet powerfully and preached truth, and many of you got saved. And there was fruit that came from that. Paul would have said all those things. Now compare that to looks and IQ and well-crafted speeches. Which pastor do you want to follow? I want to follow the guy who would give his life for the gospel. I want to follow the guy who would give up everything that he had to follow the gospel, who comes with humility. I want that guy. And so I would just say, he's saying, listen, you've fallen into the trap. Come out of the trap. They've compared themselves to themselves. They've set the standard. And of course they can follow it because they set it. But I'm telling you, there's something more important than what the standard they have set. Look at verse 13. We, however, will not boast beyond measure. We're not going to tell you we're all that, but within the limits of the sphere which God appointed us, a sphere which, listen, especially includes you. For we are not overextending ourselves as though our authority did not extend to you, for it was to you that we came with the gospel of Christ. Verse 15, not boasting of things beyond measure, that is, in other men's labors. Now, what he's saying there is these guys are doing all that stuff. They're boasting about themselves. They're boasting about their ministries. They're boasting about how far their ministries have gone. He's, listen, I'm not doing that. In fact, I came and preached to you. I'm happy with just saying that's the extension of my ministry with you because you are important. You are valuable. Listen, but having hope that as your faith is increased, we shall be greatly enlarged by you in our sphere to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you and not to boast in other men's sphere of accomplishments. Again, like, that's what they're doing, right? They're boasting in the thing. I planted the seed. These guys have come in and overwhelmed the plants, right? They've pulled them to their side. And he's saying, listen, I planted this seed. God used me to plant the seed amongst you, and they've come in and kind of rained on that parade. So Paul's saying, listen, I'm content to preach and minister to you until there's health in Corinth. I'm going to stay right here with you. I'm not looking to be the big name pastor somewhere. I just want to preach to you. The other thing he could be saying is, listen, I need health from you guys so that when I go to that next region, I can say, hey, listen, Corinth has got my back, right? The stuff that God did in Corinth through me, praise God. Look, I want to do that here in this place. The other thing he could be saying is I want to be able to come and stay in Corinth so that I can extend the region out into Rome. That Corinth was a great place where we could set up ministry camp and then we could start reaching out to Rome. The other thing he could be saying is like, I want health in Rome so that you can support the ministry as we move forward. But first of all, I want you to know I'm content to make sure things are good with you. That I'm not looking to go crazy all over the place with ministry. I just want to make sure things are good in Corinth. And then lastly, in verse 17, but he who glories, let him glory in the Lord, for not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord, what? Commends. At the end of the day, I'm Paul, right? At the end of the day, you can say whatever you want to say about me, right? I pray that we get back on right terms. I want you to free you from the strongholds of the mind that these guys have put you in. But at the end of the day, I know that the Lord has called me. I know that he's commended me to do this good work here in Corinth and all over the region. And so when you guys start moving through 11, 12, and 13, you're going to see like he gets bold. He gets strong. And he starts giving them proof. Here's why you need to know. Here's what you need to know. Here's why God called me. Here's where the things that God has done in my life. And so I'm excited for you guys. Jeremiah 29, he gets this last passage from Jeremiah 9. 23 through 24. Here's what he says. This is what Jeremiah 9, 23 through 24 says. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches. But let the one who boasts boast about this, that they have the understanding to know me, God, that they know me, that they have the understanding to know me. Critical, that we have the understanding to know God, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. In other words, Paul would say, these guys, they're not demonstrating kindness, justice, or righteousness. The fruit of the Lord will be this kindness, justice, and righteousness. The things that you've seen in my ministry. Because I know the Lord. I want to show you that I know the Lord. In a sense, the proof is in the pudding. Paul is saying, let my actions be the proof by the power of the Spirit. And I pray that for us, that as we go through life and we come across conflict, because we're going to get it, we're going to run against people who have strongholds, and sometimes we'll make the mistake, you and I both, to fight fire with fire. We'll come back with human weapons. And I think we should learn from Paul in this and say, listen, this is a man who knew what it was like to have a heavy burden on his heart for people. And yet he still did not fight fire with fire. He didn't come back with human weapons. Instead, he goes to the Lord and he says, Lord, I want you to do a work in Corinth, apart from me, above me, beyond what I can do. And so that's us. Amen. That we need to be ready to say, listen, I'm going to use the tools of the Lord by the power of the Spirit and the breastplate of righteousness, the suit of armor. I need to put that on. And that's how I go to battle.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins. Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more.
No more.
Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day.